you know, it's not like I have the talent of somebody like Prince who can play all these brilliant instruments. And he's an exceptional talent. The failure was inevitable, and it was very painful as well. When I failed, I mean, I got the demo tapes done, left home, told my parents I was never coming back till I became successful. I mean, I was really gutsy. And I went to Warner Brothers and PolyGram and Sony and telling them I was going to be their rock star. And I wanted to speak to whoever was in charge of hiring rock stars.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Niraj Kapoor. After 23 years in London running sales teams, Niraj wanted to raise the standards of sales, so he wrote Everybody Works in Sales. He then set up his own sales coaching and training company to keep businesses accountable to help them achieve results. He's delivered sales trainings to over 300 small businesses. But he also failed as a rock star. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I wanted to say thank you for all the ways you offer support, whether that's leaving a review, sharing the show with a friend or family member, or going and supporting me directly on Patreon. That's a huge help. It takes a lot of money, time, and energy to make this show happen. So you can go to patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Remember, Williams is WILLIAMNS. That's patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Or just click the first link in the show notes and it'll take you right there. Enjoy the show. Niraj Kapoor, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Cannot wait, Alex.
Perfect. Okay, so let's talk about you failing as a rock star. I know this is a dream a lot of people have, even me. I don't play any instruments, but every time I see a band play, I think that would be cool. So tell us about this experience. Why did you want to be a rock star in the first place?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Northern Ireland. And this was back in the days when there was no internet, no smartphones. You had four TV channels, well, three TV channels and eventually four. MTV kind of, I didn't discover MTV till I was like 17 years old. You know, there was just nothing to do. It was a boring place to live. And I just wanted to escape and have a life of excitement. I just couldn't believe that there was more to life than just living in a small blue-collar town in Ireland. I wanted more. And I think the second thing was I was an Indian kid in a white school. So even though I consider myself completely Irish, there were not all the kids, because it's wrong to say everybody was bad. Some of them were decent kids, but a lot of them saw me as being Indian or coloured or different. And the amount of verbal abuse I had to deal with was just stupid. And any time I would complain to a teacher, they would say, just ignore it. But they didn't understand. When you're an adult, you can ignore these things. When you're a kid, you can't. You need some form of closure. I just didn't have the emotional intelligence or the mindset or the ability to deal with that kind of abuse as a kid. And it's not like one or two people. You're talking a lot of people. So for me, music was a way of me saying, fuck each and every one of you. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to have money. I'm going to show you. Because at that age, that's what you think success is. When you grow older, you know better. But when you're a kid, that's what you think success is.
I really, really like this idea of you feeling like you need to become a rock star to prove something about yourself. So keep walking us through this. Where did you go from first having this desire? What happened next?
Well, I spoke to my parents about it. My father's a typical immigrant father. You want to record some demo tapes? Get a job. You're not going to have a penny from me. You better focus on your exams. So help me God. A typical immigrant father, no mercy, no sympathy whatsoever, none of this pat in the back. Of course, son, you follow your dreams. That's how I am with my daughter. But no, he was brutal. And he says, fine, get a job and get in the studio. So I did. I got a job stacking shelves in a supermarket. And as boring as it was, I did it as hard as I could, got promoted to night shift, where you got paid more money. And in those days, shops were closed on a Sunday. So if you work on a Sunday, it was double time. We're only talking about, £5 an hour? What's that? $7 US an hour. I mean, it's nothing, but you're putting in 20 to 30 hours a week. And over summer, you're working full time. Christmas is full time. It took me almost 2 years, but I saved up thousands and thousands of dollars. And then I went into the studio. Unfortunately, I had no idea who to hire. So I used a big, thick book called The Yellow Pages, mm-hmm. which is like, I guess, a paper version of Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And I would find producers and call them up. Where was the cheapest? That's who I went with. There was no sense or intelligence or testimonials. I didn't think of these things. I just wanted someone who would do it cheaply because I figured I was so talented. Look, I'm going to be the next Bon Jovi here. You guys have no idea. When you can write a song and you've written like a dozen songs, you stupidly think you have real talent. And I was like, God, if John Bon Jovi heard this, he'd be hiring me for his tour. I'd be supporting him around the world. You know, I was just so naive and so ignorant to the world because I had nothing to compare it to.
Is there a universe where it could have worked out? Or do you think there's just no way you were going to succeed as a rock star from the beginning?
There was no way because I, you know, it's not like I had the talent of somebody like Prince who can play all these brilliant instruments. And he's an exceptional talent. I was a good drummer, good piano player, wrote decent lyrics, but that was it. And I always say that in business, if you want to be successful, surround yourself with really good people and try and get a mentor or a coach to take you there. I had nothing like that. And because I was doing it all myself, the failure was inevitable, and it was very painful as well. When I failed, I mean, I got the demo tapes done, left home, told my parents I was never coming back till I became successful. I mean, I was really gutsy. And looking back, I can't believe I did that. I just went to London, stayed with a complete stranger, and said, right, I'm going to be a rock star. And I went to Warner Brothers and Polygram and Sony and Virgin, all record companies, and I walked into reception telling them I was going to be their rock star, and I wanted to speak to whoever was in charge of hiring rock stars. I didn't even know. It's called A&R. I don't know what A&R was. Just whoever's in charge. And nobody would speak to me because nobody knew who I was. And I would give it to the receptionist. They would say, well, be in touch. I'm like, but I've just flown over from Ireland. Like, we don't care. Just drop it off. And many of them didn't get back to me. And those who did simply said, you're not what we're looking for. And I would call them up saying, can you help me? How do I improve? And they're like, no, we haven't got time. The humiliation of thinking there's no way I'm going to go back home. I failed at my dream, age 19. And unfortunately, I spent the next 18 months on welfare. Now, welfare is brutal. It is the lowest of the low you can go. And I felt so ashamed. And I just walked around with a big chip in my shoulder, angry at the world, angry at my parents, angry at the government. I mean, just blaming everybody for my problems instead of myself because I had no self-awareness.
Did you develop any self-awareness from this experience? And, you know, after kind of surrendering this dream, where did you go from there? And how did you recover? And what lessons did you take with you that now you apply today? Sorry, that's like a triple-barreled question, but
I'll answer the easy one first. I recovered because my father flew over, quite embarrassed that my father's a very successful doctor, embarrassed and ashamed. His son was living off $50 a week on welfare and refused to get a job. And he said, look, you got to sort this out. This is embarrassing. Get a job. And in those days, you know, in the early 1990s, you had to have a degree of some kind to get a job. Now, not as much, but back then you did. And the only job I could get with no qualifications was working in sales. So that's how I started off working in sales. And I was just fortunate enough to talk my way into a company where the receptionist was Irish. And she introduced me to the head of HR. And I got quite lucky, in all fairness. I started off with a great company. But in terms of the lesson, unfortunately, when you go through this pain in life, it sometimes takes not just months, but years to learn your lesson. And because I had no self-awareness, it took me a long time to realize that lesson. And I made the same mistake again a few years later, started doing really well in my career. And instead of saving like an intelligent person, I invested more money thinking, I'll try again. You know, it's okay to make a mistake once. We're all human beings. But when you make the same mistake twice, it's just a bit stupid. And I really wish I'd either thought things through or, again, had a coach or had a mentor or spoken to some people in the industry who could have advised me better, but I didn't. I did it all myself because I didn't trust people. You spend 18 months of your life on welfare. You don't just suddenly trust people. You don't have an open heart. You've got a very closed mind, a very closed heart. You walk around with a chip in your shoulder. You're quite cynical. I found it very difficult going from welfare to a 9-to-5 job. It's a big shock. Even though it was necessary, it's a big shock. And I struggled to talk to people. You know, it was quite a big transition. And I look back thinking, I just didn't have the emotional ability to deal with that. But the good lesson, I guess, out of it was, you know, a lot of people in their life, especially when you get to my age, now. I'll be 50 years old next year. You start to see a lot of your friends' parents pass away. And sadly, a few of your friends start to get various health problems, and people often die unexpectedly in their early 40s and early 50s. And so many people I've met on their deathbeds, I'm talking mainly friends' parents here, have talked about the regrets they have in life. I regret never going this holiday. I regret never writing the book. I regret never following my dreams. And even though I'm disappointed it didn't work out, I look back with incredible pride that I went after my dreams and I fought for it and I had courage. Okay, it was naive courage, but it was still courage. And at least I did it. Yes, I'm disappointed I failed, but at least I had the guts to do something that many people in the world just don't do.
And of course, at the end of every episode, I like to hear what's working for you now. Of course, you're not on welfare now. You're working hard. You're moving on with your life. What is working for you? Where can we find you? And how can we support you and your work?
What's happening with me now is I'm a human being with incredible peace of mind and incredible happiness who spends his life serving others. And I'm actually very fortunate. I'm in a position in life, Alex, where despite being satisfied, I still want to keep making a difference. And people can find me on LinkedIn. I never actually looked myself up on LinkedIn in the sense that how many other people have my name, but I don't think it's very many, Neeraj Kapoor. And the best place to find me is LinkedIn or everybodyworksinsales.com.
Fantastic. And I'm going to have links to your LinkedIn so that it's nice and easy for people to find you, just in case there are a million other people with your name. And I'm also going to have a link to your website down there as well. And with that, I just want to say thank you once again for joining me.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show, Alex.
And thank you for listening. Follow your dreams and make sure you get help along the way. Special thank you to Neeraj for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work, which I've linked down in the show notes. And if you want to offer support beyond leaving a review and sharing the show, please visit Patreon via the first link in the show note. As a thank you for your support, you'll get a postcard from me wherever I am to wherever you are. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.